Heavenly Father, what a message that song has. The truth of it is so profound. And the identification that we can have with Christ because of His sacrifice for us. We are blessed indeed above all people. And we rejoice in that. And we give You glory and praise and thanksgiving. We ask as we consider Your word this afternoon that You will help us to see the identification of times even in David's day that are almost identical to ours. And help us to remember, Lord, that sin has been in the world a long time. And it's been at work a long time. The circumstances may be different. The people are definitely different. But the sin is still there. The issues are still there. But in spite of all of that, You are God alone. And You rule and reign supreme. May we respond to the sinful conditions that we notice in the world the way that we'll learn that David responded. May we have the confidence in You that he had. And may we go from this place expecting great things from our God. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray this prayer. Amen. Take your Bibles and let's go to Psalm 12. I've never preached a series on the Psalms before, and I've been amazed. I've read the Psalms many times. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. But I've been absolutely amazed at how true to time the Psalms are and how much we can identify with what the Psalms are teaching and the emphasis that it gives in comparison to what was going on in Bible days. Let's look at this Psalm together. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who hath said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. See any similarities there? I just had a thought as I was reading through these verses, verse 4. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? Wouldn't that describe the news media? It's interesting. All right, let's look at this together. Looking at our notes, as David looked around, he observed the righteous remnant diminishing. There's already a small group. You know, there's always been a small group of righteous people. The righteous have never been in majority. They've always been the remnant. And he looks around, he sees this diminishing. He sees society disintegrating. He sees truth crumbling and sin flourishing. It's not a good situation, is it? But doesn't that much describe the day in which we live? Not just in America, but around the world. It's interesting as we look at these things. In this hour of national decadence, David did what all believers must do. He turned to God and trusted in God's promises. He found the strength he needed to live through the crisis. Our hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me. We just sang that song. That doesn't just apply to saving us and getting us to heaven. It applies to everything. Every situation. Every news event that takes place, every crisis that happens around the world. Our hope is in the Lord. And we must constantly be reminding ourselves of that because there's enough evil going on around the world to cause us to forget it. And we can become so overwhelmed by what we see happening and the events that are taking place that we can lose sight of who is still on the throne. Never forget who's on the throne. Never forget who's in charge. Never forget who is allowing things to happen this way. You say, why is he allowing these things to happen? Read your Bible. The Bible says in the latter days, perilous times shall come. And we read the description that's given there of the last days as Paul wrote it. And we're living in that time. Whether we're in the last days, as we would call it, or not, we are so much closer to the end than we ever have been. Tomorrow will be even closer. Every day we live, we're one day closer to the Lord's return. And that one day closer to the Lord's return means a greater movement of evil as Satan is rallying his troops to try to overthrow God. He is so convinced that he's going to be able to do this that he has deceived himself. He knows what the Bible says, but he doesn't believe it. And he has promoted lies to refute the scripture for so long that he has come to believe his own lies. And one day he'll wake up in everlasting burning and be there forever. So we're told what's going to happen. Well, this is kind of the idea of what's going on in David's day, what we're experiencing now. We see, first of all, point one, David's predicament. Verse 1 and 2, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity even with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. We see, first of all, point one, that he says the godly are decreasing and the ungodly are increasing. Does that look like what's happening in our world? More and more. If truth were really to be known, those that are getting all of the attention and we're being told that they are in the majority are really a very small minority. But the voice of those who want to promote evil have done their best to convince us that we who are the silent majority are really a minority. And through brainwashing and over time, they're becoming more and more increasing in their evil and trying to suppress more and more those that are living righteous. And that's the day we're living in. And so we as believers must make a sound for the Lord. We must let it be known that we are the righteous ones and that we believe the truth, because there's going to be fewer and fewer people that are willing to speak out for righteousness as time continues. And there are going to be more and more that are going to be bold and brazen enough to speak out for evil, because the wicked heart we are born with. And it's natural for people to speak of wickedness in comfort because of the wickedness of their own heart. So we see his predicament. Secondly, we see David's petition, verse 3 and 4. The Lord shall cut off the flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with my tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? David's petition, first of all, is he's praying and he's trusting God to do this. He's praying that God will cut off flattering lips. This concept of flattering lips is those who will speak with a seeming sincerity, but in reality, they're just as fake as possible. They'll say all the nice things that they think you want to hear to try to pump you up, but they don't mean any of them. And the moment that they go into a different environment, they'll do the same thing and maybe speak the total opposite of what they just said to you. Because this is what they do. They flatter. They go around trying to pump people up and convince them that they are what they are not, so that they can get those people who are not what they're pumping up, so they can get them to do what they want them to do. They look at people as nothing more than a means to get to an end. And David is praying that God will cut off the flattering lips. He's also praying, point B, that God will cut off boasting tongues. The last part of verse 3 and verse 4. They say of this about themselves, point 1 under B, we have no match. There's nobody that can match us. There's nobody like us. There's nobody as bold and powerful and controlling the events of the world like we are. We're in charge. And secondly, we have no master. Nobody tells us what to do. We do what we choose to do when we choose to do it. If we believe it's the right thing to do for us, we're going to do it. We don't care whether it violates the law. whether you agree with it or not, whether it's wrong or not, we believe it to be right, and therefore we are going to do it. So we find that David's petition is that these with flattering lips and boasting tongues will be cut off because of the mentality that they have, the concept in their own mind of the power that they believe that they have. Verse 4, I've written out in my margin of my Bible, self-deception. Self-deception, because that's exactly what they are. Who have said, with our tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Third, we find David's protection. In point one, he describes the predicament. Something that he has no control over. In point two, he goes to the one that he believes can help him with this predicament. And because he has taken this predicament to the one who can provide protection, this is what David's conclusion is. And it's only because he reminded himself of who's in charge, and he went to God, and he left that matter with the Lord. He may do it every day. He may do it 4 or 5 times a day. He may do it 20 times a day. But every time he goes to the Lord with the situation, he leaves it with the Lord. And in verse 5, he says, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. He says, first of all, God's going to triumph. Don't forget that. That can put a smile on your face and peace in your heart when the most difficult of events are taking place in the world. Some of us were around when we first were told about 9/11 and the event that was taking place. Many of you remember where you were at that moment and what was going on in your world at that time. And we stood and watched on the TV with stunned, just a stunned amazement. Our mouths open. What is happening here? What is going on? Who is doing this? This has to be an accident. But it can't be an accident that 2 planes go into both towers. It has to be something more than that. And then as the news develops and it begins to let us know what's going on, our whole world in America was shaken that day. And from that day, our world in America changed. And there's that underlying fear of the unknown. And any time we hear news like we've heard recently of a sabotage with the internet to bring about a certain event caused by our quote-unquote enemies, we can become fearful. What's going on? What's going to happen next? What happens if they hit our power grid? How will that cripple us in America? And all those things that we can think about and dwell on and go through our mind. We can talk about the stock market. We can talk about the things that are happening around the world in the community. We're blessed in our area. We haven't really seen a lot of recession in all the years that this has been going on. But what if it comes to Greenville? What if it happens here? We must remember that God will triumph. God may allow. God has not promised us a bed of roses to lay on without a whole bunch of thorns in the process. And we must remember that. So if the thorns of life come, we must constantly be reminding ourselves after we have prayed and after we've left it with Him, He is the one that's in charge. And He will ultimately have the victory. And it's not because He'll muster up His strength and finally defeat the enemy. It'll be because there'll come a time that He says, that's enough. That's enough. As He says here, for the oppression of the poor, verse 5. For the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. Okay, it's time. It's my time. I've seen this oppression. I've seen the needy and their sighing. I've allowed this to go on, but now it's time, I believe, for me to respond. And it wasn't because it had suddenly reached the climax. It's just God said, okay, it's time. He made up His mind because He's sovereign. And He rules and reigns supreme. And when He decides it's time, then it's time. And nothing and no one is going to stop Him. And David says, God will triumph. And then he says, third, God will triumph because God speaks truth, or point B. under 3. God speaks truth. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. The idea there of taking silver and heating it up and taking it through the process of purification 7 times to get it to its purest level, so that it's what we would call pure silver with very, very little contamination in it. So David's predicament, David's petition, David's protection, and fourth, David's peace. When you look at the situation, when you pray about it, when you rest in God and leave the situation with Him, then God can give you the peace that He wants you to have. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, Jesus said. Verse 7, Thou shalt keep them. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Believers are guarded. Believers are guarded. God watches over us. If we could really see our life as God sees it, and see all the things that God has protected us from, that we have no clue that He ever protected us from it, we would just be blown away. You know the time you were on your way somewhere and you had your nice clothes on and you had a flat tire? You had to pull over to the side of the road somewhere and in your nice clothes on a hot South Carolina day, get out and change the flat tire, and you were hot and sweaty and grumpy and unhappy because you'd missed your appointment or you're going to be late, or when you got there you were not going to be presentable? What if you found out that it was because God was protecting you from being killed in a car accident down the road? You see, He protects us, and He does it in His way and in His time. When you get caught at a red light, you're just really close on time, and you just need to catch all the lights green, and you catch every light red. God's timing. The believers are guarded. Verse 8, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. The believers are guarded, and the unbelievers are guilty. David has peace. God will take care of the believers, and God will judge the ungodly. We pray for the salvation of the ungodly. We who were ungodly became godly through Jesus Christ. We must pray for the ungodly that we know of and that we hear of. We must pray for them that God will save them. But even after we have prayed, if they choose to reject God, God will not let them get by with the evil they have done. They are guilty before God. And the righteous judge will judge in righteousness. When believers are surrounded and outnumbered by the wicked, or we feel that way, then those believers should pray to God, trusting in His promises and His protection. Well, but what about it, preacher? What if I do all that and it doesn't turn out well for me, and something bad happens to me? What is bad for the believer? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purposes. We don't have to like what might be happening, but we have to believe at that moment that it is for our good and for God's glory, and that ultimately we will be the victors, and that we can trust Him. We can rest in Him, because after all, He's in charge. He is God. Remember that this week, as you're going through your Bible and you're reading through the chapters each day, look at how many times you're given a testimony that God's in charge. And I'm going to tell you, God's dealing with some pretty messed up people in the Old Testament. I mean, some of the things they do is just unbelievable. You and I would not do some of the things that people in the Bible did that are identified with God. But God's in charge, and God has His way in everything and in everybody. Rest in Him this week. And when you find something that just brings fear to your heart, pray about it. Leave it with Him. And then live in the peace that He gives. Help us, Father, that we will glorify You this week through our actions, through our words, through our behavior, through our thoughts. that we would just be at peace because of the peace you give us and because we are at peace with you. Help us to continue to look to you as we live in this sin-cursed world where sin abounds. We ask that grace will much more abound. Where the lost seem to increase, we ask that more of them will come to Christ. We thank you for loving us, and we thank you for the hope that we have in you tonight. And as we sang, our hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me. And we thank you that it is. In Jesus' name, amen.